Welcome to the Infotainment Podcast Initiating Startup Sequence.
Hi, my name is Randy, and the Infotainment Podcast will begin shortly. I will be your round mound of podcast sound, pound for pound, the best podcast around. My friends, the fate of American democracy rests on the shoulders of incredibly horny nerds.
Kiss me, you fool.
The title of this article doesn't exactly track, but maybe it does. It says a recent Washington Post report offers a glimpse into the very active sex lives of presidential campaign staffers. A Tuesday report in the Washington Post gives a little glimpse into what the newspaper calls the messy, awkward, occasionally successful dating scene on the campaign trail. Or in grittier terms, the sex and dating lives of the young people who work on presidential campaigns. That this anesthetized atmosphere would be an unlikely breeding ground for romance makes sense. It's almost exactly like what everyone knew to be true, but never addressed about the kids in the marching band. They were all absolutely fucking. How the band managed to march in the straight lines with all their hormones raging was always a mystery, and how a successful campaign can be run by horny college grads is an even bigger one. Yet, according to the anecdote given by the Post, sex on the campaign trail is a good omen. In her book about the 2016 election, Democratic Party honcho Donna Brazil notes an old campaign rule from former Congressman Tony Colello, who believed that if a staff is hooking up, it's a sign a campaign is strong. Are they having sex? Are they having fun? Colello asked her. If not, let's create something to get that going, or otherwise, we're not going to win. The idea of candidates stoking the sexual flames of their campaign staffs is not a sentiment that's aged well. And the Post story includes no mention of alleged sexual harassment on the campaign trail or of policies that address this issue. The picture painted by the Post is one of a political dweeb's Valhalla, where the dive bars play candidate walkout songs on repeat, and couples working on rival campaigns make voter calls together from separate rooms. It's difficult to isolate the sickest anecdote from the story, but below are a few contenders, or shall I say candidates? But when organizer for Kamala Harris Claire Goldberg and her date met at a bar in Fort Madison, he agreed with her without a handshake or a hug, then recited his life story for about 30 minutes before badgering her about how long Harris might remain in the race. He then spent the rest of the date trying to convince the bartender to caucus for Biden. Joe Biden is a much better man than this guy will ever be, she says. A New Hampshire staffer for Al Gore's 2000 campaign, who nursed a secret crush on a coworker until he clumsily blurted out to her, "I'm feeling something here and just needed to tell you." They're married with a kid, and he's now a top aide on Biden's 2020 campaign. when Ryan Bruner met his ex, not his ex, and his new now girlfriend on Hinge, the dating app, never heard of Hinge, where Buttigieg met his husband, Chasten. He noticed her profile had this sexy photo of herself getting kicked out of a Trump rally. The entire post story is worth a read, if only to learn the disturbing origins of Ted Cruz's marriage to Heidi. Did not know that. I guess the story is not exactly right. If you really want nerds on your campaign staff, you'll have to go to basements and guys playing card games like Dungeons and Dragons or dressing up like Star Wars characters playing with their laser swords. Interesting conversation about that. I don't know why that came about, that they were worried about the sex lives of their campaign staffers, but... Since South Dakota has become one of the biggest downloaders of my program, I thought I would do a South Dakota story, and it involves a food eating challenge at Doc's Bar and Grill in Freeman, South Dakota, near Sioux Falls. And I live about an hour away from Sioux Falls here in Minnesota. I looked up a video of it. It is a tough challenge, but if you can eat a 100-ounce steak and 1 pound of fries in an hour, you get the meal free. If you do not complete the challenge, you have to pay $75. And I saw this guy. He did it under 50 minutes. He ate the whole steak and the fries. And he didn't even have any liquid like A1 or Heinz there at the start, but he did add A1 to it eventually. It was amazing. That steak was huge. I don't know if I'd try. I don't think I could do it. But it's kind of a coincidence that his name was Randy also. But there is a video of it. If you go Freeman's South Dakota 100-ounce steak challenge, it's at Doc's Bar and Grill in Freeman, South Dakota. Not all that far from Sioux Falls. It was amazing. And he goes, probably the whole town's population was there, since they're a town under 2,000 people, cheering him on. And under the video, there are a bunch of comments. And I wrote 100 ounces in and 100 ounces out. But thinking about trying it, and that it would be an interesting, I do not relish the after effects of doing that, and I'm sure he didn't either. But if you like food challenges, I mean, slurping down hot dogs is nothing compared to this. I mean, even in Texas, they cut it to 72-ounce challenge, but you have an hour to do this. I think that's rather restrictive. I think they should get like an hour and 15 minutes, but he did it under 50 minutes. It was amazing. But that's one of the things you can do in Freeman, South Dakota at Doc's Bar and Grill. And if you don't want to pay $75, you can pound down a 100-ounce steak and a pound of fries. You get your name on the Wall of Fame and a T-shirt. And you do not have to pay the bill. Smoking pot is one thing, but smoking pot in front of a Tennessee court judge is a whole nother matter. Yeah, man. Being in court is a real drag. You mind if I light up this, Jay? Could we order some pizza? Man, I sound like Bill Clinton there for a second. I did one time have some carpoolers, and one of them was a little bit younger than me, and he asked me, "Well, what did they call weed back in your day?" And I paused a second and said, "Weed." His big thing was being, he was so proud of the fact he could cut marijuana into a little cigar on it while driving. So that was his talent. Well, Clinton would be saying, "Well, I have to catch a plane later today with Jeffrey Epstein so we can go overseas and have sex with the real young girls." A man is arrested for possession of pot, lights up joint in a courtroom. The suspect approached the bench to discuss his sentence, but instead expressed his views on legalizing marijuana before lighting up a joint and smoking it in front of the judge. Lebanon, Tennessee, Associated Press. The rapper Afro Man famously sang about how getting high on marijuana prevented him from going to court. A Tennessee man decided to combine the two when he lit a marijuana cigarette in the courtroom, authorities said. Spencer Allen, Boston, 20, was arrested Monday and charged with disorderly conduct and simple possession after sparking up in the courtroom, news outlets reported. Wilson County Sheriff Robert Bryan said Boston was in court Monday on a simple drug possession charge. Boston approached the bench. Boston reached in his pocket, pulled out a marijuana cigarette, lit it, smoked it, and was immediately taken into custody, Bryan said. Sheriff's Office Lieutenant Scott Moore said the courtroom crowd chuckled. It's unclear whether Boston lit up a joint or a blunt, but Bryan said the defendant's marijuana did have a strong odor. That takes some balls to do that. Yeah, man, it's been over a half hour. Have the pizza arrived yet? Well, I think it's time to turn our attention to the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. You don't want to be breaking traffic laws in Wisconsin when you're driving that big of a wiener. But I do have a news story here where they actually did. And Wisconsin cop pulls over the Wienermobile for a traffic infraction. Police said the driver of the giant hot dog failed to give enough room to another car on the road with emergency lights. Well, maybe he, because of the size of that thing, maybe he couldn't pull over that as far as they wanted. But in Waukesha, Wisconsin, Oscar Mayer's iconic Wienermobile got a grilling from a Wisconsin, grilling, did you catch that? From a Wisconsin sheriff's deputy because the driver of the giant wiener failed to give enough room to another car on the road with emergency lights. The deputy pulled over the wiener and gave the driver a verbal warning for not following the law. The Waukesha Sheriff's Office said in a tweet posted Monday, it showed a picture of the sheriff's deputy SUV parked behind the wiener with the hashtags move over, slow down, Wienermobile. Traffic laws require vehicles to move out of the lane closest to another car that is on the side of the road with emergency lights flashing. The first Wiener was created in 1936, and it has gone through several incarnations since then. Well, maybe somebody in Minnesota is missing their Wieners today because of that, making them late. And at least they only got a warning. That's a funny story. But we hope they got their Wieners where they were supposed to be on time. Shh. Hush. That's what you usually hear at a public library when you're being rowdy. But some libraries, I do have this story that they have found some interesting things that people have used as bookmarks over the years, and they have shared those. One person at the University of Liverpool Library in Northwest England this week revealed what someone had used as a bookmark in one of its books. And in America, they said it was undetermined cheese there in England, but in America, I just say that looks exactly like a sliced version of Velveeta cheese wrapped in plastic. And it's not for a bookmark. It's unclear what book it was being used inside, but library staff tossed the offending article, and their tweets took on a life of its own. Other libraries chimed in. And what other things were used? Please do not use a cheesy bookmark. Another one at a library. Where was this at? Liverpool University Library. Someone used half a slice of bread as a bookmark. I once worked at a public library where a customer had used a rasher of crispy bacon as the bookmark. I don't know, a rasher. That probably shouldn't be used as a bookmark. And another one used, it's not an Oreo cookie, but it looks like one had been opened and it was used as a bookmark, but it looked like it smeared the pages. Crunch creams, they called it. That's a waste of a good biscuit and book damage. And I will be getting to the best one, I think, here shortly. I've had a rasher of steaky bacon raw, and also a condom, and it was in its packaging. Fortunately, a slice of buttered toast and 85 in notes. Separate occasions, customers. I managed to track down the owner of the cash and returned it. And also, people have used onion skins. And this is another good one. Do not use a taco as a bookmark. Because it damages the book fairly well, but they used a whole taco as a bookmark. A debate over the original post broke out. I disagree. It was placed in a book to mark a page. It is functional as a bookmark. I mean, at least it was wrapped. I mean, unwrapped, it wouldn't have been good. But the condom, surely better that it was wrapped. I will never side with the bookmark prescriptivist. A bookmark is defined by its function, not by whether the man says it can be used as a bookmark. Does it mark your place in a bookmark? Then it is a bookmark. Oh, just other kind of jokes about it. And the people saying they need to handle their books more carefully. Yeah, if you don't know. If you want to pay for damage on them and use a taco or whatever, I thought that was interesting that people would use that kind of stuff for bookmarks in a school library. Now, don't we have calendars with all those buff firefighters that women can snap up at their content? But this woman, firefighter, got fired for her race, what their bosses say was racy content. And it says, meet the firefighter who got fired for fire Instagram content. Presley Pritchard's superiors regularly criticized her photos and videos for being too racy. After being fired last summer for violating a non-existent social media policy, she's suing, and is right, she should. If there's no social media policy in the handbook, and we got shirtless guys doing calendars for firefighters, I don't know if that's all for charity or how that works, but many of the firefighters at Kalispell, Montana's Evergreen Fire Rescue, have personal Instagram accounts where they share photos related to their work. The men are sometimes shirtless, posing proudly in their turndowns, the heavy gear traditionally associated with firefighting, and in front of fire trucks, trumpeting their pride at their profession in between posts relating to their hobbies, friends, and families. Presley Pritchard, a 27-year-old firefighter paramedic, was no different, including photos of herself in uniform mixed in among posts about fitness and workouts she created as a personal trainer. But eventually, the leadership started to come to her with odd criticisms of her social media. Her posts were too racy. She was misusing EFR property by including it in her content. I don't see it. I mean, if the guys are using material from the workplace, you know, and she's posting fitness content, big deal. Stay out of people's social media unless it's in the handbook about it. Pritchard had worked at the department for almost 2 years by the time the complaints began and tried hard to comply with the conflicting criticisms that her men counterparts never seemed to receive. Then the day she returned from a leave, her boss told her she was fired for violating a social media policy she said doesn't exist. Well, if it doesn't exist, then the fire department should lose that case. I'm a good medic. I'm a good firefighter. I never, ever once been talked to about my actual job, the 27-year-old told Vice. Pritchard worked at the department for a little less than 3 years before she was fired. According to Pritchard, while her social media presence was the given reason she lost her job at the fire station, sexism was the real reason. Her internet activity was such a persistent problem, which is why she filed a wrongful termination claim in December, as first reported by the Daily Interlake. Pritchard's content was and is, for the most part, the straightforward stuff fitness influencer accounts are made of, with a gentle Great Plains twist. Her personal posts were mixed in with published sponsorship posts in partnership with wellness brands, but the latter never overlapped with her work as a firefighter. In most of the photos and videos she shares with her 87,000 followers, she wears tank tops, sports bras, and leggings, usually while at the gym, and a pair of wireless Rose Gold Beats headphones. In a few posts, she totes a gun or poses in snowboarding gear. In her captions, she espouses perseverance, positivity, and the power of Jesus. A good portion of her content related to her primary profession, photos and uniforms, videos of firefighter-oriented workouts, every post accompanied by an inspirational caption God has placed in your heart a special passion area where you feel a burning desire to do something. This is your calling, and somebody somewhere is depending on you to do what God has called you to do. Reads one underneath a photo of Pritchard in her turnouts, the heavy protective gear firefighters wear out on call. I've never posted one photo that or was even remotely unprofessional, she said. She said she routinely asked for and received permission. Vice saw screenshots of one such conversation before posting photos of herself in uniform and complied with the fire department's earlier request to blur out their logo when she did take pictures at the station. The Evergreen Fire District declined multiple requests for comment from Vice, with Evergreen Fire District Board Chairman Brody Verworn citing the ongoing legal proceedings. Apparently, some Kalispell residents disagreed, following a spat with an Evergreen Fire District Board member who claimed a concerned citizen contacted him about Pritchard's social media activity in 2018. She estimates she was reprimanded about 20 times for her social media content. She said her superior scolded her for what she wore to work out in at her personal gym, what she wore to work out at the fire station, and how she looked in the uniform she was required to wear on shift. It was just ongoing. They would call me in for everything, she said. It was just always like walking on eggshells there. After someone complained that her standard issues, women's pants were too provocative. What was she wearing, leggings to work? I doubt that. She said the department came up with a solution. I actually got issued a men's uniform pants. So I was like, wow, fine, I'll wear men's pants. Are you serious? Am I supposed to leave my butt at home? Oh, brother. Well, I see her in, I don't know if there are women's. Big freaking deal. I show a picture of her kind of smiling here in front of a fire truck. And it just says, my face when someone mentions how I'm provocative in professional attire. The post is for all the ladies out there making a difference, doing their jobs day in and day out. Have you ever been asked why you wear makeup in uniform, or why you brush your hair and care out looks, or why you tighten your pants too tight, or been told that you are too manly, too skinny, too small, you're provocative because your curves, or way you look that you can't help? If you're a female in this field, especially an attractive or curvy girl, you're going to be ridiculed. I mean, you're going to be mocked and made fun of or talked about poorly, judged by looks. And I'm sure if a guy stood there without his shirt on and his gear taking pictures for whoever, a calendar or some woman he's trying to impress, he'd probably never get talked to about. Oh, great, and here we now have the train coming through. Here's the thing, when you genuinely love yourself and others and what you're doing while radiating the love of Jesus and walking in your calling, the enemy will try to knock you down. Did you know the enemy only attacks things of value? He sees you walking in God's calling for your life, helping and inspiring others, and he will do everything in his power to prevent you, discourage you, and talk you out of things meant for you. He does through his words, judgmental unbelievers, temptation. The devil has a bag of tricks up his sleeve. Don't give in. Don't be discouraged. Don't throw in the towel. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can. So be light to others. Keep shining. Keep doing you. Keep staying in your lane, inspiring and making a difference. Pritchard told Vice that much of the offensive material was similar to the kind of content her male colleagues posted, and provided screenshots of a male firefighter with her department in uniform, shirtless, along with hashtags promoting fitness products similar to those she was repeatedly chastised for. The difference was her appearance and gender. She also showed Vice screenshots of a coworker's Facebook comments advocating for an unused mass grave in front of the proposed border wall between the United States and Mexico, and one expressively stating Sandy Hook was fake. She said her coworker was not disciplined for or even spoken to about those remarks. Although she wasn't the only woman at EFR, Pritchard said she was typically the sole woman on her shift and that other women in the station tended to be there on a volunteer basis. I didn't realize how common sexism was because I never had anyone talk to when I was going through all of it. Anyone to talk to with. She said the scarcity reflects the latest numbers. Of the 1 million firefighters active in the U.S. as of 2017, only 7% of them were women. And per the same poll, only 4% of the 373,600 career firefighters were women. It just really happens to be hypocritical, she said. It just sucks because you see firefighters out here with these sexy firefighter calendars, and if females did that, they would literally be like beaten to death. Not by me. Everyone would call them sluts and whores, but it's okay for guys, just like how it is okay for every guy in my department to have photos of themselves at training. Pritchard was fired from her job as a firefighter paramedic on August 15, 2019. According to Pritchard, Covington told her the reason she was being fired was that she'd left photos of herself in uniform, which she said she received permission to post in advance, and content related to her work as a firefighter paramedic up on her Instagram account. After being asked to remove them within a five-day window, she said she chose not to remove the posts after speaking with a lawyer who told her that legally she didn't have to do so because of a standard social media policy for the department was never substantiated in writing anywhere or fully communicated to the staff. Pritchard said EFR has since claimed that she made money using the fire station's facilities and uniform to promote her side business in an effort to block her from receiving unemployment benefits. Pritchard vehemently denies this, and she has provided the department with letters from the brand she works with stating that they only sponsored specific posts on her feed, all of which were unrelated to the department. I'd be freaking rich if I made money from every post. They would probably have looked into how social media works before they just say that, because it just makes them look really, really stupid. Pritchard believes that she was fired for sexist reasons. She denied that her social media presence denigrated the department's reputation, and if a photo of a woman in workout clothes at the gym or in her work-issued uniform is enough to damage a fire provider's department's reputation, Pritchard argues, then her fellow firefighters should be held to the same standard. She said it's clear to her that she was targeted because she is young, conventionally attractive woman in a male-dominated field. If everything Pritchard said is true, and again, EFR refused to confirm or even comment on any of these basic facts, then it's clear EFR couldn't get its story straight about what the problem with Pritchard's Instagram account actually was. Its leadership variously criticized her posts about firefighting, as well as her posts totally unrelated to firefighting. She said she was accused of posting photos from the scene of an accident, using fire district resources for her own business ventures. Yeah, I wouldn't take pictures at a scene of an accident for that, but posing provocatively at the gym and at the fire station and making money off content. She has proof that she was not sponsored. Yet the department appears to have not reprimanded the man on its staff whose content would also have run afoul of many of the supposed social media standards if those standards were being equally applied. Oh, and the story goes on and on. But yeah, I don't think the fire department has much of that. They don't have much of a case there. It's just sexism. And it said that somebody complained about it, and that's probably when it started. Some old bag that didn't have anything better to do than a cell phone. And there are those people, because I was parked one day at kind of a remote location near a park, and I was sitting in my car. I had just gotten back from a walk, or had just got there to go for a walk, because there was a walking and bike trail there. And I'm sure this guy looked over at me, like giving me a weird look. Not soon after, I was being tailed by a cop. And finally, I did something and he turned his lights on. He needed an excuse. And he was like, you have insurance? And I showed him that. And can I look in your trunk? If you decline, I'll get permission and blah, blah, blah. I told him, I said, there's a bag of golf clubs in there. And he opened it up and saw them. And he thought he was going to catch me with a whole load of cocaine or marijuana or something. But he was not happy. Like, I did nothing wrong. I was just sitting in my car and either ready to leave or going out for a walk. And there are a lot of busybodies out there with cell phones. I think they're like, I don't know, what's that name of that show? That woman that always wound up finding a dead body. I can't think of it right now, but it's just stupid. It's just rampant. Everybody thinks they're a junior police officer with a cell phone. Anytime they see something a little different going on, they gotta call the cops. I'll get off that subject. I have never called the cops on anybody. I mean, if they're obviously driving while intoxicated, I would do that. But unless it's something real obvious, like child abuse or patting a hot car with the windows rolled up on a really hot day, something like that, I would. But, if you just see somebody sitting in a car in a remote area near a bike trail, walking path, put your cell phone down. But this woman, I don't know, yeah, if guys can use equipment there and pose for shirtless stuff, maybe they were complaining about her because of her mention of Jesus. That could be too. Maybe it was a religious issue with them. Seems stupid if they don't have a written policy for that. I mean, if they have to hire her back, why would you want to work there anymore? I'm sure there's other fire departments that would hire her in a minute because of her firefighting record, But I think it is time to call Red Alert and warp drive this podcast to the interwebs. You can become a patron of Infotainment at patreon.com/infotainment. You can email me at randyms12@gmail.com. You can check out my infotainment Facebook page and tweet my Twitters at Randy Podcaster. And as always, I wish you a happy day today and a happy ending tonight.